evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. Well, I know the weather has been kind of crazy, but don't forget we're still in the spring. It's not quite summer, even though our thermometer around here has been in the 80s and 90s some days already. There's a lot of storms, a lot of things going on, bad weather, a lot of warnings on TV, tornadoes, hail, devastating, you know, thunderstorms. You know, I really look back, and when I grew up in the 50s and 60s, thank goodness we didn't have all this internet and all these TV stations, because you know what? It really didn't matter. Weather just came, and it went. There wasn't so much drama associated with it. There wasn't so much powerful messages. Oh, my goodness, take shelter now, and you're sitting there going, hey, I need to be sitting here watching TV because nothing's going on. You know, here in New Orleans, we're sitting here waiting for all of these storms this weekend. People changed all of their plans. It's going to be a big washout. We'll be flooding and blah, blah, blah. You know, Armageddon's going to come, whatever. And you could pull out your ark, too. But guess what? It rained less than 0.2 inches over a period of 4 days. So that brings me to today's topic. I know you think I wander a lot, but pay attention and we'll see where we're going. And what it really is humor through healing, healing through humor. And the biggest thing, we've had people on before, Alan Klein, the Jollytologist. We've had other people have said, you know, ease through your health conditions. It's okay to look at yourself and reframe and refocus. We've had other people on who have said what you focus on changes, different things. And you know what? It really all comes down to what works for you. If you're having a health condition, what works for you is the only important thing in the world. If all of these things were meant to be the number one clicker that was going to send you to heaven or to send you to the doctor, you know, rolling on roller skates and you're great to go, then we wouldn't be having all of these talks or all these issues. So today we're going to be talking about humor. How many people even have humor anymore? I can't tell you how many times I've said to my husband, did you laugh today? He's like, what's your problem? Are you on drugs or something? You know, leave me alone. I'm busy, you know? Or the kids, you know, are you nuts? You know, and they've got all their headphones on and their cell phones and all this other stuff, and they're rolling up their windows and turning up their car radios. Humor, it's about being light of yourself. And can you even do that? So many people are being dragged down by the weather is bad, my house is going to flood away, my health is terrible, my kids are crazy, oh my job, oh my gosh. You know, if you go carrying that bag around, by the time you get to heaven and you remember what I've always said on many shows before, God does not sign for UPS or FedEx. Not going to happen. You can't bring all that crap and baggage with you. So you'd best learn how to lighten up now. Today, we are going to be speaking with Annette Langer, and her book is Healing Through Humor, Change Your Focus, Change Your Life. Let me tell you about this book. I kind of looked at it. It's got a, you know, a great picture on the front. It's kind of thin. I said, okay, yeah, you know, great show, great show. Then I started to read it, and I said, holy heck, this woman, you know, how many times does she have to have all these experiences to finally tell us it's a great thing and everything will be okay? And that's her point of view. You know, you can get through these things, move through them with the least of all of the drama and a little bit better, and you'll be able to get to the other side. Because I'll tell you, the more drama you have, it doesn't change what the other outcome will be. It may just change the intensity of your experience. And you know, if you can change the intensity of your experience in saying, you know, my foot is killing me. Oh, hey, that's a good movie on TV. I'm not worried about my foot anymore, am I? So that's what we'll be talking about today. So welcome to the show, Annette. I know I kind of wander and meander around, but I do come back to the source, don't I?
Well, thanks so much for having me, Dr. Jeanette. I really appreciate it. And I know what you're saying, and that's been my entire message all along, that humor is probably the best distraction that there is for whatever concerns that are engulfing your experiences right now. And I learned this a long time ago, and it was quite by accident because it was pointed out to me by a friend. She said, you know, you've had so many medical challenges. How do you keep so positive? And I said, you know, I don't know. It just, I seem to find something funny alongside every challenge that I've had. Now, when I talk about challenges, let me give you a little rundown. Oh, during a 3.5-year period, I had 11 surgical procedures. In fact, sometimes I think I'm running out of original body parts that haven't been patched up somehow over the years.
Oh, no.
But
somebody
I've come
would
to
just
realize.
Somebody would just say, oh, no, you're just dating the doctor and you can't wait to get back, right?
Ah, that's true. That's so funny. And I did have my own Dr. Hottie, believe it or not.
Yes,
but that's a whole other story for another program. But what I realized from all the things that had happened to me, and it was like I was in two, not one, but two head-on automobile accidents. And in the first one, I suffered a traumatic brain injury, and I was in a coma for 10 days, had to learn how to walk again and just come back to life, in other words. I remember the first time they got me out of bed to walk, as long as we're talking about this particular thing, I found that my handsome doctor was standing across from me holding out his arms, wanting me to walk toward him, but I was more concerned about keeping my hospital gown closed and back than I was walking to
yes.
him.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, those hospital gowns, they don't leave much
right.
to the imagination. I suppose that's where they got the term ICU.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I had the two head-on automobile accidents in which I was injured both times. I've broken my arm twice, broke my ankle, dislocated my shoulder, had surgery on both feet four times each,
mm-hmm.
had gallbladder surgery, had knee surgery twice, had carpal tunnel surgery on my wrists three times, had two breast cancer surgical procedures, and had a three-disc spinal fusion and stitches to my head on three separate occasions.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say I come from the school of hard knocks, I'm not exaggerating.
Goodness gracious. That's an awful lot of stuff to have one person go through. And, you know, a lot of people we can look at, they may say, I just had one instance, and, boy, it just took me to my knees. And it all
mm-hmm.
depends on how we are looking at it, how we're experiencing it, and what our past experiences have been. Because I'm sure you've gone through a few of those and you've said, okay, got this nailed, you know. Eventually,
mm-hmm.
it seems to be that you understand, you've been down this road before, and the newer part of the road is, you know, from there on out.
Right, right. And, you know, sometimes the only way we can control a situation is how we respond to it. And you can either cling to your circumstances and wallow in your suffering, or you can change your attitude. And you just say, is the glass half full, half empty, or twice as large as it needs to be?
Right, and that's what
and
I had said
time,
in the beginning. At the beginning mm-hmm. about the weather, you know, in the 50s and 60s, we didn't have to hear all of this. This drama around storms.
That's
the weather
right.
hasn't changed
right.
from then till now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, we lived through it. We made it through. So I think that there's a whole lot more alarm systems going off these days. You have to this, you should have this, you should have that. And that is where people are trying to fit into these boxes, and they're figuring out that it's not working out so well for me.
Right, absolutely. And I believe that using humor is, well, first of all, let me back up and say, I truly believe there's a big, big difference between pain and suffering. Pain
right.
you may not be able to avoid, but suffering
mm-hmm.
you have more control over.
Right.
And you just don't have to let it overwhelm you and take over your whole being.
I think recently I've had a lot of older women, they would say that they're suffering from this, that, or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always let them know that that is definitely a part of getting to the next step, but it's not something that you have to create into this bonsai tree that's going to be around forever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like cut that
mm-hmm.
thing down
yes.
and get rid of it, you know?
That's absolutely true. And one of the things that I found that helped me was just to get involved in other things. For example, I volunteer a lot. And, of course, I was working before, but now I am retired, and I have the time between my writing and volunteering. My days are quite full. I volunteered for the Habitat for Humanity that builds homes for low-income families. I mean, I didn't know a thing about home building other than you put the pointy end of the nail into the wood. But they mm-hmm. teach you everything that you need to know to, provide some assistance to them. I've also volunteered ushering at various venues, and I volunteer at a senior center right now in the town where I live. And, of course, they sell my books there, so that's, a double blessing, one for them, one for me. And I also volunteer for my local police department as a police volunteer. I've done that for almost 10 years now. And a lot of these things that I just mentioned totally take your mind off your problems, and you just focus on what you're involved in now. And oftentimes it can just help you, forget about your problems for a while.
And sometimes I think it just does, you almost forget. I mean, I've always said, I simply love getting older because I don't remember everything that I have to think I have to remember, And that is the truth, Same thing with I clean my house. I just don't wear my reading glasses when I walk around, Those things just aren't that important anymore. The world is not going to end because I've got 10 inches of dust in my house. It's just not.
That's really true. That's really true.
And you really have to think about what actually is important. And so many times people cannot differentiate that. They believe it's what they've been told or what they've heard or what other people are telling them. I think that is the biggest hook in the thing, what I call, is what other people are telling them. Peer pressure.
Right.
The herd pressure, this one got it, so we have to give it to everybody, The same thing, it's like, I don't think so, it's easier to be an outspoken and an outcast now than it was in the 50s and 60s. So, hey, take advantage of it, Disagree with people, yell and scream, go out, I mean, have you ever seen so many people out picketing and stuff? Oh, my goodness, in the 50s and 60s, you would have been put in jail. Now you can just do whatever you want.
You're right.
Right?
Well, a friend of mine the other day was talking about a relative of hers who just loves to wallow in all of the things that have befallen her, and she says she really enjoys her poor health. And I thought it just made such a statement, that's what gives her. Well, you know what it is a lot of times, Dr. Jeanette? People are comfortable. A lot of people...
Yes.
Just as another example, they're afraid to succeed because failure is more familiar to them and more comfortable.
Yeah.
They don't know how they would behave if they actually saw something through and succeeded.
But also, too, it has another plug in it. Let's say if I don't feel good and I sit home, my husband will have to clean my house today. If I don't feel good and I have to ask my daughter to take me to the doctor's, great. I don't have to put gas in my car. Someone's going to come pick me out. Hey, I get a lunch out of it, And it's that kind what you're going to do for me kind of attitude that a lot of people have.
That's really true. That's true. This is years ago. It was the first fan letter, if you want to call it that I ever received. Someone had bought my first book, Healing Through Humor, Change Your Focus, Change Your Life, and gave it to a neighbor of his who was going through chemotherapy. And she sent him an email, which he passed along to me. And I'd like to read it to you. She said, "Dear Mike, thank you so much for Annette's book. She is hilarious. Last night I had bad stomach cramps from chemo and decided to go to bed early, but I read her book a bit. I laughed so much. Chapters 11 through 15 are so funny. Anyway, my stomach ache went away. And I will be buying this book for friends. I can't wait till her next one comes out. Thank you, Mike. The book is helping me through a very tough week. And I actually framed it. And you know, it just so I keep remembering the message that I want to give to people.
Mm-hmm. And we just say, we don't have to say that it's, we understand it's not a great thing. We understand it's changing your quality of life. We understand that everything is very painful. But what we're asking or suggesting, rather, is that you say, okay, you know, this really does hurt. This is really a struggle. But, oh, my goodness, did you ever see that lady over there? What is up with that? You know, she's got on polka dot pants, a striped shirt, and she's got those funny rose things hanging from her ears. You know, those kinds of things. It's like whatever, you know. And I like to call it, and I've always said it, you know, kids will always say to you, whatever, you know. And you call it whatever because it's something different. It's easy.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's shorthand.
Yeah. It's so much easier. And you've also said, you know, a lot of your things in your book that you've learned a lot of lessons from a lot of these things that have happened too. I mean, the very first one, and I think of my four kids, my kids always do tell me where they're going. And I, being in the medical field, have told them stories similar to this, is that why you have to let your parents or someone know where you're going and a number is, like you said, when you were in the wreck and you were in the, going to the opposite direction of where you were supposed to be going. And these days, everybody says, oh, but he's got his cell phone. And, you know, and I like to say to parents, and please listen, the first thing that ejects out of a car is a cell phone. It goes flying down the road, you know? And the new smartphones.
Or maybe your battery died, or maybe you don't even own a cell phone.
Yeah, but
you're right,
these
it's
cell
important
phones,
to keep.
Right, these new smartphones, I mean, you can't even drop them on a rug without them cracking. So if you think that that cell phone is going to save your child, you're sadly mistaken, you know?
I know.
And so can you tell us what lessons you've learned from any of those things that you've shared with others?
Sure. The major lesson that I learned is that opportunity can be found in any of the negative experiences that you have. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way. And you can learn, you can develop skills. I was never a, what would you call it, a seamstress where I would make clothes or anything, but I got a little ducks for my front lawn. They were like made out of stone, and they came with a few costumes. Well, it was supposed to be for the major holidays of the year. I ended up making more costumes so that I'd had one for every single month of the year, and I even
got
a thank you note from one of the neighbors saying how he brings his little girls down there so they could learn the holidays. And so once again, I got out of my head in terms of not focusing on my negatives by learning a new skill, and the costumes were the like the hit of the neighborhood. One of the men who travels for business, he said he was even going to take one of them on a business trip with him and then send me a picture with the duck with a recent newspaper and ask me for a ransom. But that was one thing, but just making those costumes, or another thing about costumes, getting involved at Halloween. Now, people that have never done it before might not even know where to begin, but I even describe some of the costumes that I have made, and a couple of them are medical. One of them was an X-ray machine that I made from a large carton that I got at the local Walmart. And I covered it in contact paper, cut out holes for my head and arms, and a door opening on the front where a little skeleton was inside, a glow-in-the-dark skeleton. And on the front of the tray was, front of the door is a tray containing two cat x-rays, which I borrowed from a veterinarian friend of mine, and I labeled the tray cat scan. Well, people coming down the street with their little children, they were taking pictures of me sitting in my lawn chair out in front of the house, because of the crazy costumes I was wearing every year.
Oh,
so again,
my
you know, It's a distraction, and that's the main message that I have. Humor is a distraction, and it'll transport you, take you out of your funk, and help you, even if it's only for a short time, to get beyond your current challenge.
So let's talk to a minute about a lot of the healthcare facilities that you have been in, because I think they're very interesting, where you had said about the cruise and you said about the other cities and states, and we all remember, you know, hospitals are, in fact, my daughter's working at a hospital now, and she says, this is in Podunk. I don't know where I am, but it's in Podunk. There's nothing here, you know. And, you know, doctors travel, you know, an hour to get there, and she's like, where are the patients coming from? There's nobody here. And,
really?
You know, you think about these things in healthcare, and then, you know, doctor's offices, and you went on the cruise and different things. So there's a lot
of
different experiences you must have had in those different healthcare facilities.
Well, one of the first experiences happened with that first head-on auto accident that I was in. The hospital, this was in North Carolina, and it was a little clinic, and they realized I had a serious head injury and couldn't be treated there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't have an ambulance, so they transported me to Roanoke, Virginia, to the big hospital there by funeral hearse. So,
well, that was something to write home about, right?
No kidding. Well, I was only about 18 or 19 years, 18
oh,
at the
goodness.
Time. I was in the hospital, and both of my parents had flown to Roanoke, Virginia from Chicago, where we lived, and stayed with me for a time. And, of course, my sister, who is a year and a half younger than I, stayed home alone. Well, they kept giving her updates by telephone, and they were assuring her that I was getting better. Well, one day she opens the mail and sees a bill from the funeral home. And she called and said, I thought you said she was getting better.
Yeah.
But it was just the bill for ambulance services.
But you know what? If you remember a long time ago in the 50s and 60s, ambulances and the funeral home cars, they were the exact same car.
That's
it was
right.
Just that they were outfitted differently. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're horizontal both times, so why not, right?
Right. So going in or going out, what's the difference, I guess,
really?
Right?
True. But,
and then you had...
Yeah, I had a...
cruises and other places. You had said about all the other places you had been. I'm sure every one of them has been different.
Well, yes. I had... I was on a cruise ship when I had a major gallbladder attack, but I didn't know it was a gallbladder attack. I thought I was just seasick.
Oh.
And so I was trying to you know, cure myself, and things kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I was on the ship one day in a little alcove trying to get out of the wind. This was on a cruise to Alaska, and one of the crew members came by and asked me what I was doing, and I said, I'm just feeling nauseated, and I'm trying to get out of the wind. And he said, well, you're standing right next to where I've been storing my paint cans. You've been breathing in paint fumes. Get out into the fresh air, and that's probably why you're feeling sick. But end up having a gallbladder attack, but it was a week after I got home, and those were just warnings up until then.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the, it was funny, one time I was about to have surgery by this doctor who was not one of my favorites, but let's just say he was rather taken with himself, and he was always late for an appointment. And so the day I was scheduled for surgery, I got a phone call saying, get here now, but he's running early. And I thought, oh, great. So I thought, I'll get there early and get this over with, because most times, you know, surgeries are scheduled early in the day and they tell you nothing to eat after midnight. Well, mine was scheduled for the afternoon, and I couldn't eat anything after midnight. So I thought, rather than this being a needlessly long day, let's get it over with. So I went in early, and they got me prepared, and I'm laying down on the gurney, and I was just eavesdropping on the nurses nearby because, you know, I was waiting and waiting, and there was nothing else to do. I had already checked out the decor and checked out the people that were passing by. So I just started listening to the nurses. Well, I could have sworn I heard one of them. She pointed to me, and I thought she said the word coroner. Well, I jumped both upright on the gurney, and I said, coroner? And she said, no, dear, your doctor is Dr. Cormer, and he'll be here soon.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's so goodness. And that would definitely put the fear of it in you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess the drugs were kicking in, and I just misheard them when they were talking.
No, that's what you get for eavesdropping. You know what happens when you get 10 girls in a line. By the time it gets to the end, it's something other than it was what it was.
Totally different story, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit, you always talk about, you said about insurance coverage, and I think that is hysterical. You know, let me tell you about insurance coverage. Boy, you know, it can get to be a real nightmare. And I think sometimes some people get so crazy about it, but other times people don't pay any attention to it at all. And really on those both extremes, it can really put you under, I think.
That's the truth. And one experience that I had was I had two surgeries the same day. I had breast cancer surgery first, and I had fallen off a ladder about 6 weeks earlier. I had to wait and schedule knee surgery because I had torn the meniscus, the cartilage in my knee. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, look, I'm going to be having surgery that morning. Why don't you just do the surgery afterward? Then I'll only have to be in the hospital one time, only have to go under anesthesia one time, and I'm only going to be home recuperating one time. And the insurance company's got to love that. Well, what happened was that the nurse or the patient coordinator from the second doctor never got pre-authorization for me, which is required by many insurance companies to approve a medical procedure. She thought, or that's what she told me anyway, that she thought that the cancer doctor's office staff got the approval for both procedures. Well, the insurance turned out only paying for 10% of his bill, and I was going to be stuck with the rest of it. So she said, I said, well, you know, that's not really right that I should be stuck with it when you were supposed to get approval. And I think the patient coordinator was trying to weasel out of it. And she says, well, look, if you write a letter to the insurance company, she says, I'm no good at writing letters, and I know that you're a writer.
If you could
write the letter, I'll tell you what language to feed them, and they will maybe reconsider. Well, fortunately, I had two insurances at the time. I had the insurance policy I'd had since I was 17 years old, which I never dropped, and a second insurance that I had from the place of business where I was working at the time. Well, they did reconsider the insurance claim, and they denied it again just because of not getting pre-authorized.
Right.
But it turned out that what one insurance didn't pick up, the other. So it did end all right. But that's just, you know, you have to be your own advocate. And a lot of times, just dealing with them, I'll give you another example. I had, when I was in the hospital for the second knee surgery that I had 6 months after the first knee surgery, when I slipped on an ice cube in the lunchroom at work and tore the same meniscus in my knee, had to have surgery a second time. So I went and had the surgery. They, on the day of discharge, they brought a walker to my room. Well, I just used it to get from the curb into the car, and I never used it since then. Well, it turned out the insurance company wouldn't pay for it because they said I used a provider that was not authorized. Because you have these preferred providers and then others. Well, you know, how many people feel it's up to them to check that out, especially when you're being discharged from the hospital? So, again, it was a long fight. It took months. But I finally got them to pay because they realized that the hospital was the main provider, and they were the ones who authorized it. But you have to be your own advocate.
You really do, and I've always told clients is that when it comes to insurance coverage and bills, what you really have to remember when you're speaking to someone on the phone is that they're just employees. Everybody wants to go off on the person calling you or whoever you get on the other end of the line, but they're always at the mercy of somebody else. They are only an employee.
Right.
And so you just have to keep going at it until you get what you need or you get what you're supposed to have done. And not everybody's got the same answer. You don't like what one person says, hang up and call back. You'll get somebody else, you know.
You have no idea how many times I've done that.
Yes.
And you just
and
say
I think
it as
that
if you're
people
talking
forget
to them for
that.
The first time. Sure.
Yeah, and don't they... I think people just don't want to be persistent because they don't feel that they should or they don't know how or whatever the story is. The answer is it's up to you to stand up and do what you need. And that comes back to the same beginning we were talking about when you're saying about humor. Because, you know, it's really up to you. Nobody's going to come into your room telling you jokes. No one's going to come into your room lightening up your mood or fluffing up your pillow with Google glasses on or something, you know?
Right.
It's really up to you to have to be able to do something about it for yourself. I mean, you have to get up each day to look at it, you know?
Mm-hmm. You've got all your medical care... people, the doctors, the physical therapists, your family, your friends, but in the end, it's up to you to control your own suffering.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no other difference otherwise, you know?
That's right.
Because
that's
it's
right.
only you that's going to matter in the long run. And, you know, I can remember after, I think I was in the hospital for C-section or something, but I was screaming at the nurse, would you answer the damn phone? Would you answer that damn phone? And everybody's looking at each other. They said, there's no phone ringing. I was just getting ready to pass out. But,
oh, my gosh.
And, you know, nobody listens, and it's just you'd think everybody understands or knows your story, and they really don't. You need to speak up for yourself and how important that is, you know?
That's absolutely true. Well, insurance is a big stumbling block, and it's so funny. Someone the other day said, in this new day and age of medical care challenges, if you feel you can no longer afford to see your doctor, don't worry about it. Go to any airport. They'll give you a free x-ray, a free breast exam, and if you mention Al-Qaeda, you can even get a free colonoscopy.
Yeah, I saw that. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
I'll tell you. And you got to, there's a lot of things going on, and healthcare is not about to get any easier, you know, but we just don't have any other choice other than just to say okay and keep going. And that is really what is the most important thing is keep going. It's when you get stuck in the cement, right? You get stuck in that cement, you'll never get out of it.
And don't try to handle everything at once. Take it one challenge at a time.
Yeah. I mean, when you've got problems with the insurance company, you call them up and say, hey, dude, you know what? Could you hold on for a minute? I have to go throw up. I'll be back in a minute. Hang up the phone.
Really?
You think they're going to leave you alone? They'll leave you alone. You know?
Sure they will.
It's really about taking charge of it, you know, your own self.
That's it. You have to take charge. You really do. And it doesn't have to be done in an antagonistic way. I mean, that takes too much energy in the first place. But, I always use humor to lighten the situation anyway. I found that's what's worked best for me. I don't know if it'll work for everybody, but I sure have found that it's worked the best for me.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes those people that you speak to or you're working with in healthcare, they've had rough days just as well as anybody else, you know, and it's always
absolutely.
Not, you know, a ball of wax,
and,
you know.
Well, one of the places where I went for physical therapy, I had what they called lymphedema, which it was a mild case, and some women get that right after breast cancer surgery. It's a swelling of your arm, and to take care of it, you have to go like for 5 days in a row, and they wrap you from your shoulder down to your fingertips. Then they wrap each finger individually, and this is several layers of batting and bandages. And it's just to keep your arm in place to prevent the swelling. And if they can catch it early, there's a good chance that it won't continue. Well, the first time I had it, they said be very, very careful when you take a bath because, you know, this is just cloth and the water will absorb. And I said, oh, I'll be very careful. So I got into the bathtub, I sat down, and I held my arm up just like a traffic cop stopping traffic. But then I relaxed and laid back in the tub, and it was like a sponge. The water just went up and just took over all of the bandaging. So I tried to dry off as best I could, went in for my physical therapy appointment, and I said, you're going to have to give me new bandages or can you put these in the dryer? And I told them what happened. They said, no, we can't put it in the dryer because it's all elastic and it'll stretch out the elastic. We'll have to sell you new bandages. Well, I got my new bandages, and they said, just be careful. So what they did to try to help me, they took all these bandages, and I said, look, I'm parked right out in front. Instead of putting them in your dryer, why don't you, I just had the car washed, why don't you drape them across the car? So that's what they did. And my entire car was covered with all these bandages, just drying in the sun. Well, people from the waiting room thought they were TPing my car.
Oh, Lord,
and they explained, no, that they weren't playing a trick on me. They were just drying my bandages. But it just gave everybody a good laugh. And like you said before, they're employees. They don't see anybody regularly that is in a good mood. Everybody's in pain that goes into a physical therapy place. So this helped lighten their load as well.
Yeah, because you have no idea what anyone else has done that day. You don't have any idea if someone else has already passed away on their shift. You don't have any idea if one of their relatives is in the hospital, too. You don't know if they're really in pain themselves. No one asks.
Everyone carries their own burden. Absolutely.
You really, and it's, you know, it's best to just, you know, be light with everything that you can.
Sure. In fact, it was funny, one of the physical therapy attendants had taken a fall and hurt her own foot, and she was limping around. Well, the next day I came back and I brought her one of my surgical shoes, and I said, just use this until you get better. She was so grateful. She said, this really touched her.
Yeah.
And it's just, what can we do for each other, you know?
Yeah, everybody is so big on their agendas that they sometimes can't see the weeds through the trees, you know.
Oh, that's for sure.
And it gets harder and harder. And I think that in healthcare and in our life right now, there's a lot of reasons why we're saying, you know, I'm not being heard, I'm not being cared for, you're not listening to me, whatever that might be. But there is quite a bit of this going around now. Because healthcare is changing rapidly, and I don't expect it to get better. If anyone thinks it's going to get better, write me a letter. I don't think so. But all you have to do is just say, okay, it's not going to get better, so what am I going to do for today? Because there's nothing else you can do about it. You can't sit down and yell and scream and say, it's not the way it used to be, because there is no going back.
No, used to be is over. That's true. Like I read something today, that never let yesterday use up your today. Make the most of what you do have today.
Right, and that is the biggest difference because, you know, if your insurance paid up for everything last time and, you know, you walked in and you just did what you want when you wanted to and blah, 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 and you're still demanding and expecting that,
right.
You're going to be very disappointed.
More than sky high. True.
Right, and you know, and then that will even further increase your health conditions. I mean, people have come in, and they have had, you know, issues with their heart, and they're coming in yelling and screaming, but this is the way I always had it. And all that does is just makes yourself sicker. What's the point? I just don't see any point in that.
I know. It's just a misuse of your own energy, actually.
Yes, and it does. And they just do keep up with that, don't they?
Oh, they sure do.
And, you know, so have you, there was something else I had in the book that I had set aside, and I'm just trying to find it now. Oh, goodness gracious, it's not jumping out at me. I had read your book, and I outlined and underlined everything.
Oh.
Goodness gracious.
I'm glad
you were saying
about
that. I'm telling you. That's why I always ask for the books in paper, because then I can do that.
Sure.
So what have you, let's just talk a little bit light, let's give a little light story on tests that you've had, because I think that's the funniest part. People don't realize that medical testing is such a joke sometimes. You have to be funny about it because it's not the most pleasant thing. And that is definitely one instance where getting a test done, if you've got a bad attitude, man, that test can go all kinds of ways of bad, you know?
Oh, I know. Well, one of the things that happened once was when I was having a mammogram, the technician was telling me about a woman that she had just the day before who was so frightened it was going to be her first mammogram, and she had heard so much bad news about what a mammogram feels like that she actually passed out during the mammogram.
Oh, my
gosh. The technician, she is in the next room because they don't want to get the radiation exposure themselves. And so she was trying to release the mammogram machine with her foot before the woman would fall on the floor. And, oh, my gosh, it just, you know, I could just picture it.
Yeah,
and
really.
So And the day that I had my breast cancer surgery, I had to have 7 mammograms in a row so they could position it and spot what they were going to operate on. And, boy, that was a challenge in itself. But
goodness.
One test that I always wondered about was an MRI.
Uh-huh.
And there's two types.
I've had many, and they are like, if you ever want to know what it means to feel like you're in a casket, that's it.
Right. Some of those
buried
are
alive.
Closed MRIs, but now I think a lot of them are going toward the open MRI, meaning you're not enclosed in a machine, in that little tube that you think you feel like they're going to shoot you into outer space with as they eject you. But the one thing that I don't like is the noise, because it's like a lot of clicking noise right only a few inches from your face and your ears. And it sounds like a Woody Woodpecker sound to me. And then they
tell you don't
swallow.
Oh, it's a lot louder than that.
And that's all you want to do is swallow.
Oh, yeah. I've had probably those, I've probably had closed MRIs maybe more than 10 but less than 20 in my lifetime. And
no kidding.
They were mostly for headaches. And if you've ever had an MRI with a migraine headache,
oh, my gosh.
That is when you are screaming and the tears run down your face and you're screaming and screaming, get me out of here, get me out of here, and you can't move your head and he's yelling at you to sit still. And it's like I've had many times where the MRI would get halfway done and I'd say, I'm out of here. Get me out. I'm going, you know. And, yes, there are open MRIs now, but they are very expensive machines. Many hospitals have not switched over to open MRIs, especially some of the older hospitals and in smaller cities.
Sure.
But even in large cities, I've found that there'll be 1 to 2 open MRIs in the city. Everything else, if you happen to be at that location, need it, you're stuck with a closed one. And it is definitely the most interesting test you have ever had.
It is.
But definitely,
let's hope you're not claustrophobic.
That's right. But, you know, I have had instances where I tell people is that you can ask because they have music. Sometimes mm-hmm. some of them have music. I've even
right.
had one that had a mirror, and I watched TV, and it was like, you kidding me? Where have you been all my life, you know?
Well, the last one I had was, it was closed, but it had like a little window, and you could see mm-hmm. outside, and you could, I don't know if it went like a periscope, where, because obviously if you're laying down, all you would see is the sky,
right.
but I was actually, they had to have it hooked up somehow so that they could get a wide-angle view of the exterior of the building, and so I was watching people go by, and when they had me come for the MRI, they said, would you like to bring your own music, or do you want ours?
Yes.
So I thought that mm-hmm. was interesting.
Yes,
so I think they're
it?
Trying to get better because they realize it's stressful for a lot of people.
Right.
And because
and
mine was so early.
Yeah, mine were in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to get it over with and go home. I didn't care if I heard music or Woody Woodpecker knocking on the door.
That is the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've talked about all of the aspects of healthcare because, and given it a little bit more lightness, and that was the purpose of today's show, is because all of these things are what's happening. You will have
yes.
problems with bills. You know, you will have really crappy tests getting done. You will feel like, you know what, you will have diagnosis and, you know, treatments that you would wish that in your entire lifetime that it would never be you, but it is. And
it
what
is.
Annette, right. Right, what Annette and I are saying is, okay, you know, what can you do? What can you do differently? You can lay there, and at times, if you have a chance, what we're saying is make a little bit light of it, a little bit, just a little tiny bit. I know my husband, when he was in ICU, and they brought him his food, I'm not eating this slop, you know, and he would push it away, and it would go flying. I said, yeah, because mm-hmm. we're not cleaning it up off the floor to eat it, so... You know, then he would get what he wanted, and that was just his process. He was just, didn't want it, but he was going to get something else. And mm-hmm. just little tiny things, you know, you've got a zillion of them in your book, and your book is Healing Through Humor, Change Your Focus, Change Your Life, and you'll be able to find out more information about Annette and her book on today's show page. There are links directly there. And you can read those and say, ah, I did that too. Oh, that might be okay. Or, you know, oh, that's really funny. And that's something that will bring lightness to your situations.
Well, I'm glad you just said it in that way, because one thing I always encourage people who buy my book, I have a contact page at the end of my website. My website is AnnetteLanger.com. Very simple, my first and last name.com. And on the last page, I welcome contact by people who have read the book or if they want to ask questions, things
right.
like that. And that's the best way to get in touch with me on that contact page. And I do answer every email I get.
And that's important because sometimes people just need to be heard. They need to say, you know what, I did something differently, or, oh, I really needed to hear that, or that made
right.
me feel a little bit better. And that is worth $1 million right there, you
sure.
know,
or they
is
say,
to
oh,
know
that
you're heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of times when people say something is hurting or something is not working or I'm not feeling good, but they're really just wanting to be heard. And
sure.
it may not be coming across well, but, you know, because everybody takes things according to what they're seeing, and they're just not always listening either. We all know about that one.
Well,
but,
that's true.
Yeah, and, you know, so when you say that you really just want to be heard, that's really important. So when
absolutely
they're able to get back to you, that would be a great thing to be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I've given them that avenue. And my books actually come in two formats. It comes in paperback, which you can get at any retailer or Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. My books are in print form as well as digital for people who prefer e-books.
Great.
And
you can you also tell us about your other book too?
Oh, sure. Well, this just goes to prove even further that life goes on. My second book is called A Funny Thing Happened on My Way to the World, Diary of a Fearless Travel Agent, which I was for 20 years. And it talks about my travel to all 7 continents before and after my medical challenges. So if that doesn't prove that life goes on, I don't know what does.
Yes, and that's the truth, you know? And I think that that's so important for people to understand, too, is that you just have to keep going to get through it, because there's always going to be another day until the end.
Right.
But until the end, you still have these days to fill. So you'd best be figuring out something to do with them.
That's right. That's right. And like I said, sure, sometimes maybe people are not well enough to travel anymore, but there's nothing wrong with being an armchair traveler. Just pick up the book and read and learn about the world.
There's so much information out there anymore, you know, everything everywhere.
Oh, sure. And, well, like my book is talks about the things that you don't normally read about in a chamber of commerce or websites for tour companies. I just tell it like it is, even if it's not so flattering to the place I visited. And some of the experiences were like being held hostage in a worker strike in Tahiti, or being able to sleep through an earthquake in Peru. But there's a whole lot of funny stories in my book as well. But it just runs the gamut. Just shows you what can happen when you travel.
Absolutely. It's getting out there and living again. Well, Annette, we blew through
the
hour. We blew
through this hour
very quickly. We sure did. So if you would like to give your contact information again and your websites and your book names, that would be great.
Oh, surely. You can reach me at my website is Annette, A-N-N-E-T-T-E, Langer, LANGER.com. And I have a link in the website where you can either order the book through me, and then I will autograph it and mail it out to you, or, as I said, you can. There's a link on there for Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and the Apple iStore. And the books are available both in print and in e-book format. You can either go to the links I just gave you now, or a company called SmashWords.com, and there's a link on my book to them as well. And they don't charge any different than Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's the same price. And you can get e-books through them as well. But they give you an opportunity to download the first 30% of each book so you can try before you buy.
That's great. That's interesting.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was great to have you with us. I know healthcare and being able to find anything that would lighten that experience is really difficult for a lot of people. So I really think we've kind of shined a light on a lot of different experiences and said, you know, it'll be okay. And that was the whole purpose
That's
of today's show.
It gets better.
Well, yes. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. We do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Great. And have a great day.
Thank you. Same to you.
If you'd like more information about Annette Langer, her book is called Healing Through Humor, Change Your Focus, Change Your Life. The links are on today's show page. Please do click directly there to go to her website. And as Annette has said, there is a Contact Us page there where you can also, after you have read her book or before, if you'd like to just speak with Annette, send her a question, send her a comment. She absolutely loves to hear more information from her readers. So thank you so much for being with us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure, and until tomorrow, have a great evening.